Hey, welcome to Hellbent, a feminist podcast for those who resist and persist. I'm Devin, and today on the pod, I got to speak with two women, Shruti Sandara and Yvonne Wandera. They are two women of color working in Hollywood, and they formed a group called Own Hero, which tours and works to help women take back the narrative of sexual assault and sexual harassment.
For us, it's just breaking that down, breaking down what you feel, what you do, and how you connect with others, and then interlinking it and creating a community of women, because we have wonderful ambassadors who have enrolled into this endeavor and would love to champion it. And, you know, the ambassadors won't be there kind of waving and saying hi from a stage. They'll be right in with a group, sitting in smaller groups and sharing their stories.
And, you know, I actually recorded this interview a while ago, I think in early April. And I really wanted to put it on the show, but we kept getting like very specific news stories with very specific guests attached to them. And I'm actually kind of glad that I waited, because this interview ties in nicely with the rise of women who are running for office and now know are winning the primaries that they run in. So I think it was a great conversation. I think you're really going to enjoy it. They're both absolutely lovely people. I also want to take a quick moment to say thank you for your patience yesterday. I fell at the gym while doing box jumps and scraped up my shin, hit my elbow, and like I said, hit my tailbone so hard. And I really tried to do the episode, but I texted Sarah and I was like, I'm just laying on my couch with an ice pack and watching Great British Bake Show right now. So thank you so much. I'm sorry this is a little bit late, and you all have been so supportive, and I really, really appreciate that. So before I get to the interview, I'm going to do a little bit of listener feedback, and then I'm going to kind of combine the news block and Hellion of the Week, and I'm sure you can already guess who the Hellion of the Week is / are. But I want to talk about that at a little bit more length. So I combine the two blocks. So I wanted to say that I got feedback to the feedback that I did on Monday about episode 114, Men Are Trash, and I'm so glad that many people felt I addressed their concerns on the pod and felt that I had said what I needed to say. And I don't want to spend too long on this. I am once again so grateful for the thoughtful and engaged listenership that we have and the community that we've created. And I think that I am proud to have lived up to your standards, and I hope that we can continue to have these conversations and you will continue to send us your feedback and criticisms and anything else that you'd like to say, because I want to make that, it's so central to our mission here at Hellbent that I want that to continue just as it's been going. So thank you for that. Thank you for all of the feedback to the original episode, the feedback to the feedback, and et cetera. So basically what I'm trying to say is Hellions are the best. Okay, so I'm going to combine the news block and Hellion of the Week, or I should say Hellions of the Week. So basically the title of this whole section is Women Getting Shit Done 2018. And I feel like that just really encompasses this whole thing. It's something we didn't get to touch on Monday's episode because we had a shitstorm of other crap to talk about. But I'm very excited to talk about this now. So the Hellions of the Week are all of the women who ran for office, ran in the primaries in Indiana, Ohio, North Carolina, and West Virginia. And then, of course, a special shout out to those who won. It's so important because 19.2% of the House candidates on the primary ballots in those states were women. And of those, 27 major party women nominated for the House are from those four states, and 8 of them are Black women. And it is absolutely mind-boggling when you think about all of the shit women are told, that they aren't suited for office, or they can't win, or that they shouldn't be in politics. Obviously, that is just not true. And what's also interesting, and this was from an NPR article, of the 27 female winners in Tuesday's House primaries, last Tuesday's, 20, actually the Tuesday before that, shit, 22 were Democrats and 5 were Republicans. And if you put that another way, in the general election, women will account for 55% of the Democratic House nominees from these states. 55%, but only around 12% of Republican nominees. So in these states, more than half of the nominated representatives are women. And that is just, it's not perfection, but it's progress. And it's just beautiful. So it was 27 out of 43 of the congressional districts in which women won, or about 63%, which again, more than half. And I feel like I keep repeating myself to drive this home, because women, more than half of the time, more than 60% of the time, won the vote of their constituents. And for people to say that women have no place in politics is such absolute crap. And of those 27 women, 8 were Black. 8 Black women with solid showings in North Carolina. And honestly, the Democratic Party, the sooner we get the fact that women and people of color, and particularly women of color, are our base, the sooner we understand that, the fucking better, because that is who's going to win elections for us. I mean, just look at the work that Black women did in Alabama to elect Doug Jones. The effort and labor and passion that they put in is what elected him. And so we need to start looking seriously at getting more Black women on ballots. And so this, again, is progress, not perfection, but it was so heartening to see. Christina Reynolds, who I've actually spoken to on this podcast not too long ago, she's Emily's List's vice president of communications, said, "What we're seeing is that voters across the country are responding to these women who bring phenomenal, different experiences. They bring a new voice to the table, as too many tables are all white men, and they bring a desire to fix the issues that their communities are facing and that are really resonating with voters. And we're seeing it around the country, and we think we'll continue to see it in November." Again, that just speaks to what the Democratic Party's goal needs to be. We need to start looking at women of color, at people of color, and taking them serious at candidates, and understanding that, yes, they can fucking win. They're doing it. As soon as we give them the chance, they do it. And I just cannot get over just how uplifting that thought is, especially in this day and age where sexual assault allegations are disgustingly regular. And it's not because it's not been happening before, but because now we're listening to women, we're believing women. And in a system that disempowers women and empowers abusive men, it can feel so scary to put women forth on ballots and to put women forth in roles of power, because it just always has felt like women didn't have that power. And now we're taking it, and it's coming together, and it feels so good. And I think one thing that really speaks to this is Rachel Crooks is now the Democratic nominee for a seat in the Ohio Senate legislature. She was one of the women who accused Trump of sexual assault, and she won her primary. Rachel Crooks accused Trump of kissing her without consent in 2005 and went public with her claims in 2016. And we took it seriously. And not everybody did, obviously, but the country responded, and now she is the Democratic nominee for a seat in the Ohio State Legislature. And if that doesn't turn it around a little bit, again, it's not perfect. It's not exactly what we want. It shouldn't have taken so long, but we're here. And if we keep this momentum and we keep believing women and we keep listening to them and we keep putting them on ballots, they will continue to win. And a nice tie-in with this is actually Aditi's podcast, Self Care Sundays, that comes out this Sunday, so 2 days from now. She spoke with a 20-year-old Muslim woman who ran for office, and how she actually said that the biggest barrier to being taken seriously was not her age or religion, but her gender. And that is so pervasive. And while we are starting to dismantle this gendered power vacuum. It is obviously, we still obviously have a long way to go. And that conversation is just wonderful. And I highly recommend you check out Aditi's podcast, Self Care Sundays, and particularly this Sunday to listen to that story. So Hellions of the week are all of the women that put themselves out there and run. They run for local, state, federal office. And what we're seeing now is that when you put them on these ballots, they win. And this is the start of a turn. And I truly, truly believe that. So our guests today are Shruti Sandana and Yvonne Wandera, who are women working in Hollywood and are working with a movement called Own Hero to empower women to take control of the narrative of sexual harassment. So welcome to the show, guys.
Thank you so much for having us.
Of course. So I first want to ask you about a couple of projects that you've been involved in. Mm-hmm. So you, Yvonne, were in a movie called Inflatable K. And Shruti, you were in the diner. Can you each tell us a little bit about the films?
Right. Actually, Inflatable K links in really well with Own Hero, because that was almost the genesis of Own Hero. It's a film, it's a short film. It was only a short film that I wrote and Shruti starred in. And it really is the story of a young Muslim woman who creates an imaginary world in her car because the real world leaves her feeling so isolated and lonely. So we did this film like everyone does, and we had a great team. We had Emeline Rodelles, who's an incredible producer who generally just does films, jump in and assist with this. We had Dale Restegini, who does lots of music videos, direct it. So it was a great team of people who just felt passionate about the story. And we did it and thought, okay, this is great. And then we circulated it through festivals. And then it came to the time of just releasing it, as you do, because you've just done a project that you're quite proud of. And then suddenly we got quite a bit of hate mail. General sort of standard hate. No sense to the hate, just general abuse. So it wasn't as though there was a logic to what they wrote. It was just you, blah, 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 you know?
Right.
And then from there, it started a conversation with a lot of people who were supporting it. And it just created a huge foundation for people to discuss. One, what it's like to be a woman, what it's like to be a Muslim woman, what it's like to be isolated. And, we screened it to a few places. And then the conversation came up from this young lady who was about 18. I would say she was about 18. She said she was in college. She said to me, "What do you think of female empowerment?" And I said, okay, so I can sort of string a few sentences together and try and sound reasonably intelligent, or I can tell the truth. Now, the truth about it is, I said, I don't know how female empowerment translates into your day-to-day life when you're in your bedroom or in your kitchen, unable to cook, or in your bedroom, unable to deal with something that's really disturbing you.
Right.
And I said, my whole life I've been to marches. I am all about women. It feels so great being in that group of women when you're out there standing together against something that you feel you need to voice. And then I leave, you know, we all go and toast to what we've just done. And then I get on the train or jump in my car or move from that environment to my personal space, which is my home. And then something hits me and I'm just like not feeling empowered.
Right.
So that raised that conversation of what empowerment means, what it's like to feel isolated and lonely, and how we could expand the conversation. And from there, we created Own Hero. It had so many machinations of names before then, but now it's called Own Hero. And it organically came about. And what we've done is actually curate a curriculum of what we call to empower yourself, to get yourself driven and motivated and also astute with your own feelings and to really live your life effectively. So yes, long answer, but at least
no.
I hope I've kind of bridged quite a few things.
No, that's great. But before we move on, Shruti, can you tell us about the diner?
Sure. So The Diner is a short film. It's about the lives of these customers and the staff of the diner, and they become linked somehow. And I don't want to say too much more about the synopsis just because otherwise I'll give it away. And my character is, she's been in an abusive relationship with this guy, and he physically abuses her, emotionally abuses her, and verbally, you know, all of that. So for me, preparing for that role, I actually watched a lot of videos of women who have been abused and what their experiences were like. So cause I wanted to go dig deep and get into that darker side, which was hard, but it was definitely a different role than something I've ever played. And, you know, I watching those videos, I can't imagine what some of those women went through. I actually watched one interview where this woman was actually this guy. I'm sorry, this is really gross, but he like gouged her eyeballs out, and she stayed with this guy before for like several years. And I just couldn't understand in my head how people stay in those types of relationships. So for me, it was a challenge, but it was definitely, you know, rewarding to play it and get into that mindset.
Right. Right. So with the Own Hero group, and you said you curate a curriculum, what sort of things do you focus on in terms of empowerment?
You see, that's a really great question, mainly because the term empowerment now, it's almost seen as some sort of emotional word where to feel empowered, you need to feel something. When what we've actually done is broken it down into a bit of a science, because there's so many different phases and structures and thought processes that you need to go through to actually get to that feeling of empowered, or also that activation of being empowered. So for us, it's just breaking down what you feel, what you do, and how you connect with others. And then interlinking it and creating a community of women, because we have wonderful ambassadors who have enrolled into this endeavor and would love to champion it. And, you know, the ambassadors won't be there kind of waving and saying hi from a stage. They'll be right in with a group, sitting in smaller groups and sharing their stories. Because I always feel that, you know, the times that I felt particularly empowered is having some sort of curriculum or language, and then seeing how other people have done it. So for me, it's always about the community and also some sort of learning structure. And it seems to have been quite effective with us.
What is the Own Hero Empowerment Tour? And how did it come to be? And what is your goal with that?
Yeah, I think I went into a little bit of how it came to be.
Yes,
And what the actual tour is now is we're now spreading the word. We're now looking at going to university. So we're looking at that demographic of young women who are at that phase in their life where they know quite a bit about themselves, but they're learning so much more. They're now adults. They're now in charge of their life, and they have, you know, they need those tangible tools to really feel as though they can take control of everything in their life. We're also looking at older women in their 30s who are now, yes, they feel as though they've kind of arrived at a place of knowing, but then maybe they're thinking of changing their career or taking on new challenges that really frighten them, or raising a family. And again, those challenges are presented to them, and they need that sort of level of empowerment. So right now we're thinking of going to universities, which we've kind of got that down, and we've got a lovely tour set up. Partnering with some media partners, and also really trying to affect whatever community of women that need this sort of education, that can feel as though this is of some sort of benefit to them.
Right. Shruti, I have a question for you, especially in Hollywood, you know, with the rise of the Time's Up, which came out of Hollywood largely, not completely, but the... there's been a lot of discussion about women in Hollywood and women telling their own stories. So how does getting more women involved in telling their own stories play into this idea of female empowerment?
Well, I think just people, you know, one person starting the conversation gets other people involved, and that's how a change starts, is with one person's voice. But now all these women are speaking up about equal pay and just being treated as equals. And I actually just read this interview with Priyanka Chopra yesterday, and she was saying how, give someone a job who is able to do the job. It doesn't matter if they're a man or a woman, whoever can deliver, that's what we should be looking at rather than their gender. So right. I really think that we're coming into a new time, and, you know, I really do see things changing in a positive direction. I mean, especially with social media now and people like being able to say what they want to say, and with these podcasts and magazines and people just speaking their truth. And I feel like that's happening a lot right now.
Yeah. So both you and Yvonne, you've both been producers and actors in film, and how has the role of women in Hollywood changed over the last couple of years? I mean, especially with the, you know, the revelations about Harvey Weinstein and sort of the dearth of women in leadership roles in telling stories from out of Hollywood. Is there a shift that you feel? Are there more opportunities for you in leadership on making these movies?
I would say the shift is happening, although it's very slow.
Glacial.
If I'm being completely candid with you, it is very slow. The best thing that happened out of one, you know, the Weinstein situation and, you know, what followed after is a sense of accountability. So it's not as though these things can happen in secret and are hidden away and no one discusses them. There's almost a sense of accountability. And also now there's a sense of accountability in terms of pay, where lots of actors and actresses are sort of voicing their opinion,
right,
about the, you know, the gap in pay. So there is now a platform where everyone knows that if something potentially goes down that is unjust, someone will or may talk about it, which completely changes the narrative within the private space of production, where, you know, women are generally kind of sidelined. I don't know a lot of female producers out there, and the female producers who I do know have found it extremely challenging to get any film up. I mean, in my case, we have a production coming on and I'm co-producing it with lots of other incredible producers. A female producer, the producer of Jungle, which is starring Daniel Radcliffe. So lots of strong work, but she's always felt that it's been incredibly difficult to, one, champion one's narratives and stories about women, two, get work done as a female producer. But it's getting better.
Right.
But yes, I hope it's a start. There's a lot more we could do.
Yeah.
A lot more, I think.
I think you're right. I think it is slow. I mean, I was also reading this article about how female movies that like have a female center, like a lead as a female, those movies actually make less money than if it was a male lead actor. So there's movies like Wonder Woman, which is a strong female lead. So I do see like the changes, but like Yvonne said, I do think it's slow, but I think it has a lot of potential. I mean, the Harvey Weinstein definitely started a conversation, and, you know, they're taking it more seriously now with all those, you know, with them being harassers or males taking advantage of women. I mean, he got fired. So did Matt Lauer and Mark Schwann. Like, so you can see that this is actually being taken more seriously now.
Right, right. You mentioned Wonder Woman and movies with powerful female leads, and there have been strides in recent years, but most of them have centered around white women and white actors. And I know that you are both not white. And have you found that it is even more difficult to get your stories told as women of color?
Oh my goodness, yes. I mean, there's that kind of preconception that, oh, stories about women of color won't sell.
Right.
We don't want to hear another ghetto story. Oh, is this an urban thing? That's the other thing. You know, it's almost as if you're almost put in a stereotype before you've even said the story. And if you say something where the woman or the lead character has actually got depth and dimension, they're like, maybe we should stick to something that's one dimensional, where people can recognize that kind of character.
Right.
So, yeah, it's tough. I think that will take a lot longer to change,
yeah,
in the whole than the other conversation about, you know, the gender pay gap. All of those other main conversations will maybe may evolve a little bit faster than female leads who are of color playing characters that are three dimensional. I mean, in TV, that's a standard right now. You know, we have Scandal, we have How to Get Away with Murder, we have, as you said, Priyanka Chopra, Shruti, in Quantico. There's a lot of, you know, women of color or of other ethnicities leading these shows, and they're extremely successful. Somehow, that hasn't quite translated to those big execs who have the paychecks to say, yes, this film can be done with a lead that happens to be of a different ethnicity. That hasn't quite happened as yet, but maybe a few things are brewing. I've heard a few things are brewing, so I hope that comes into manifestation soon. But I mean, I'm still a bit skeptical that there's a lot of work that needs to be done on that arena.
Right.
Well, I mean, I think that what I, like, Yvonne just mentioned Quantico. What I like about that show in particular is that Priyanka Chopra plays the lead as an FBI agent, and it's not about her ethnicity. It's about her being an FBI agent or the CIA agent. So I would like to see women, all women of color, whoever it is, it doesn't matter, not as a conventional role, but rather just playing everyday people.
Right.
It doesn't matter like what color your skin is. You can still play that role of an FBI agent or a lawyer. And but not, it's not like, oh, this is like stereotypical. I'd rather just see it as, okay, this is just a person playing this role.
Right.
That makes sense.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. You work in issues such as, you know, race and economic injustice into this sort of empowerment curriculum that you do with Own Hero?
Yes, I think the minute you start isolating these factors is the minute you start thinking that the world only evolves. You know, empowerment is somehow about a good feeling. Again, that thing that I mentioned earlier, that you feel good, but it's not really associated with everything else that makes you feel marginalized. Like,
right,
it could be your race, it could be your where you grew up, your background. It could be, as you said, the economic forces behind it. It could be so many different things. So it has to be on that platform of let's discuss everything. If we're talking, let's talk about everything. Everything's on the table. Everything's fair game. Let's put it on the table and discuss it and possibly see a way of making it evolve into something that we feel as though we are, one, understanding of it, know how to deal with it when it arises, and feel as though we have a community that can support us with it.
Right.
So that's, I think, yeah, let's talk about race.
Right.
Let's talk about, yeah, let's bring it all out.
Right, right. What can our listeners do to get involved with Own Hero or hear one of these go to one of these empowerment tour stops? What can they do to get involved?
Follow us on Facebook, follow us on Instagram. Just we're posting everything that we're doing out there. Talk to your friends about it. Write to us. Give your opinions, give your suggestions. Call us into your communities to raise the conversations. We will come with our bags packed and every single tool that we have.
Right.
Really, it's such an open platform for us to interact with communities and individuals, and we are open to any way that they feel they want to communicate to us, and we will be posting on all our social media platforms. So yes,
that's great.
That would be the best way.
All right, I have one last question for both of you. On our show, we like to do something called a gratitude check, and the news can be very depressing sometimes, aka all the time. So we like to ask all of our guests for something that they're grateful for, something that's helping them get through the day, through the week. It can be serious or silly. I talk about bats a lot. I'm obsessed with bats, like the animal. Bats. And how I'm grateful for the existence of what I call sky puppies. So what are you grateful for today?
Trucy, do you want to start? So
sure. I'm definitely grateful for my family. I know that sounds cliche, but my family and my dog, you know, that as much as my dog, she, you know, if I'm having a bad day or feeling negative, they just give so much unconditional love. And I just feel so, you know, blessed to have such a great support system, too. And I'm definitely grateful for coffee, because yes. I don't know how it would get throughout the day without it.
Yes. I would not get through the day without coffee.
Seriously. Okay, you ladies. For me, it's tea, but then I'm not so grateful about tea, because I'm almost taking it for granted these days. So I've got a new love. And the new love is deep hair conditioning. I know it sounds surreal, but I have found the only moments where I actually take care of myself and stop, and I don't look at my phone, and I'm not really distracted, and I can get to sort of center myself, is when I put deep hair conditioning on a Sunday and I marinate in all that goodness. And it's almost as if I'm like, I feel like I have to zen and chill out. So I'm really grateful that I found something that is keeping my stress levels down. Apart from that, my mum, who I'm currently visiting my mum in London right now, and she's decided to do a degree. She was really enthusiastic about it. And then she realized it's really hard. And I see really her hard. Studying. She's supposed to be retiring. And she's there doing a degree. And she's like, this is hard.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I can see her fighting through it. And I'm like, if she can do it, like, I can really do anything. I need to shut up and stop complaining. Right. And if she can do it, anyone can.
I love that. It is hard, especially going back. So where can we find you on social media?
Own Hero_Floor. If you type Own Hero, you'll find us anyway on Instagram. Again, Floor, which is FLOORW. You can find us on Facebook. I mean, if it's okay, we can give you all of these things and you can post them on your site if that's okay.
Of course.
Thank you. And for me, yes. My personal Instagram is Miss Wand. So MISS-WAND. That's on Instagram. And Facebook, it's under my own name, which is Yvonne Wandera. And I have a website. You can also find us there. You can also find Inflatable Cave, the film, online through our website. So yes, lots and lots of places.
Great.
I'm at Shruti Sadana, so SHRUTISADANA on Instagram and Twitter.
Great. Well, thank you both so much for being on today. I loved the conversation, and I think Own Hero is such a fantastic idea. So thank you for the work that you're doing.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, of course.
Yes.
Yeah. All right. I have a great day.
You too. Bye-bye. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right, Hellions, that is it for me today. Thank you so much for your patience with me yesterday. I'm feeling so much better today, like I said before. And have a great weekend. I will be back here on Monday with a very special guest. I'm very excited to have her on. It's someone you already know. It's not Sarah, but you're gonna like it. So have a great weekend, raise some hell, and remember to be kind.